Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So I'm Danielle Garrett. I work at the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, and today I'm going to be talking about a peer mentor program that we implemented for state primary care office directors. So I don't have any relationships to disclose. So I'll start out with my objective for today is really to compare the benefits of a more formal and resource-intensive in-person mentoring program with the benefits of using virtual tools to promote peer learning. So I know today particularly, you know, we have a lot of really effective virtual platforms available to us. So as we all are trying to justify to our funders and to our supervisors spending money on travel, I'm sure we'll get a lot of questions about, can't you just do this virtually? Can't we have a virtual meeting? There's so many tools available. So I really wanted to look at whether or not that's really true and if in person, you know, being more time and resource intensive is really worth it. So the lens that I'm looking at this through today is through a program that AFSTO implemented for primary care office directors, and it's a peer mentoring program that involves a both in-person and virtual component. So I'll start out just for a little bit of background in case you don't know what state primary care offices are, so you have some context for the population that we're talking about. Primary care offices, I'll refer to them as PCOs for shorthand today. They sit within state health agencies. There's 54 of them, all 50 states, D.C., Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and the Pacific Basin. And basically, the purpose of primary care offices is to assess at a pretty granular level the state's population access to care, primary care, mental health care, and oral health care. So these are the people who are crunching the data to determine health professional shortage areas, medically underserved areas, those kinds of things. And then they're working with their federal and state agencies on programs to increase access to health services. So these are things like student loan repayment programs, National Health Service Corps, J-1 visas, basically any program that provides incentives for providers to practice in underserved areas. All of the state primary care offices are primarily funded through a HRSA cooperative agreement. And a lot of these offices also oversee rural health activities. In some cases, they're actually the same person, the primary care office director and the rural health office director. So there's a lot of rural health overlap. And most of them do have very, very small staffs. A lot of the states, that's just a one-person office. So just a little background so you know who we're talking about today. So AFSTO's role in assisting PCOs. So AFSTO, our membership, are the, whoever the top public health official is in the state. But we also do a lot of work providing TA and supporting their staff and other health officials in the state. So we have some funding from HRSA to provide TA and coordinated peer learning to primary care offices. So basically this means we manage some phone calls for them, we develop webinars, tools, resources, targeted TA throughout the year. But really the big thing this year was funding for a peer learning program. This was something that they had requested, had really been looking for. So it involves both an in-person peer mentoring program and then an online discussion board where we were trying to get people to kind of get together virtually to learn from one another. So I'll go through some of the specifics. If you have more questions, feel free to ask me at the end. I want to spend most time talking about lessons learned, but just so you get a feel for what the program was like. We advertised it to all PCO directors through emails, and then we also set up a call where we invited them all to come learn more about the program and some of the activities that AFSTO was working on. We developed a brief application. We had two applications, one for mentors and one for mentees, that just basically looked at what are their needs, what do they hope to get out of the program. For the mentors, we asked them what they felt their particular expertise was that they could provide some of their newer colleagues. And then based on those applications, we chose participants based on kind of their need and then the availability of an appropriate mentor. So was there someone who could meet the particular needs that they had, someone who had that expertise? We did prioritize very new primary care office directors. Everyone that we chose had been in their position for under 2 years. Some people at the time of their application had only been in their position for 3 or 4 months. So we really tried to prioritize the people who had the most need. The program itself included a two-night funded site visit. We let them choose whether they wanted to go to their mentor state or have their mentor come visit their state. And then we asked them to have at least 2 other virtual communications during the year. So this could be emails or phone calls. And then we asked them to fill out an evaluation at the end of the program, both the mentors and the mentees. So some lessons learned after the first year of the program. This is a pretty small sample size. This was our first year, and we had funding for 6 participants. So we did 6 matches this year. We're expanding it next year. But kind of from this first little pilot group, what we've learned, the evaluations were overwhelmingly positive. I've looked at evaluations for webinars and other meetings and stuff since I've been at AFSTO, and this is by far the most positive evaluations that I have seen. Just kind of across the board, people were very, very happy. I have a quote here from one of our participants. The mentor program far exceeded my expectations. Being mentored by someone as experienced and knowledgeable as my mentor was invaluable. I learned more about PCOs during my communication with my mentor than I have in the year and a half I've been in my position. So I don't take credit for this. This is totally because of our wonderful volunteer mentors who were volunteering their time and expertise to help out their colleagues. I think one really positive thing that came out of the program was that we found, in addition to the mentees getting the training and some of their questions answered that they needed, is that all of the mentor program participants, both mentees and mentors, were more likely to participate in other activities throughout the year. So they were more engaged when we had webinars, when we had calls. Almost across the board, all of my mentees and mentors were on those webinars and calls. Mentees have reached out to say they'd like to volunteer to be mentors in the future. They've asked what other activities they can get involved with at ASTO. So just being a part of this small program really increased their engagement across the board. One aspect of the program that we got really positive feedback on was the flexibility. It was a very personalized program. I got on the phone with the mentor and mentee at the beginning of the year, talked through what their needs were, what they envisioned the site visit being like. So it was very personalized. We left a lot of room for flexibility and creativity. I think one example, I had a mentor from Texas and a mentee from Arkansas. And my Arkansas mentee said, look, I have a new staff member. She has a lot of needs, a lot of questions. I think it would be great if we use the money to send her to Texas. She does more data stuff, more technical stuff, and I think she would really benefit from being in their office and seeing how they do things. And I'm going to drive and meet my mentor halfway. They use their own money and drove and met in Texarkana and spent the day together talking through some of her more high-level questions. So that was something that we hadn't envisioned going into it, but that was what worked best for them, and we were able to provide support for the whole office. So I think that everyone really appreciated the flexibility. I think it made for more productive visits. It was more time-consuming for me and the other ASTO staff, so I think as the program grows, that's something that we might have to consider. One good bit of constructive feedback that we got was that participants didn't feel like they had enough time to engage with other people in the program. They really wanted to do some kind of group activities and learn more about what other mentors and mentees were doing in terms of best practices and how they were leveraging that relationship. So in our next year, we are going to add a virtual kickoff meeting and then an in-person wrap-up for all of the program participants so they can gather together. So then the other component of our program was a virtual site. So we wanted to make sure that we were finding a way for people who we didn't either have money to fund or people who just weren't in a position, weren't new enough to be mentees or didn't want to volunteer to be mentors, where they were still able to have some peer learning experiences. They already had a Google group that they were using to send emails to each other, but they wanted something a little bit more streamlined where they could upload documents and see everything in one space. So we used a SharePoint. This is a Microsoft platform. I have an example up here. This isn't the specific PCO site, and I wanted to preserve their privacy in terms of what was on the discussion board and the documents. But you can see it's a pretty clean layout. There's a place for a calendar, announcements, document uploads, and recent discussion. I have to allow people onto the site, so when we have a new director, they have to send me their information, and I get them all logged in. But once they're logged in, they can post freely. They don't need to go through me. I don't have to approve anything. They can post whatever they want. So we didn't do a formal evaluation just because this is a little bit of a different beast from the in-person mentoring program, but the anecdotal evidence that I've gotten is that people aren't as happy with it as they are with the in-person mentoring program. It's not used quite as much as we thought it would have been and would have liked. Some of the feedback that I've gotten is people don't feel like they can kind of easily integrate it into their routine. They liked with the Google group that they didn't have to sign on to a separate website and that they could just shoot off an email and that would go to the whole group. This is a separate website you have to log into. I don't think people have gotten in the habit of doing that, on a regular basis to see if there are discussions that have been posted. It has been useful for posting documents. That's where people have been most happy with it, and when there's something that they all want to look at, it provides a good forum for that. But the feedback that I've gotten is that this cannot replace the in-person connections that they're making through the mentoring program. I think another concern that we've had to deal with is privacy concerns, because it is being run by another organization and not just on their own. They're concerned about making sure that their information stays secure, that we're not sharing documents with anyone else. So I've had to answer some questions about that this year. But I will say that it has been most effective when it's paired with in-person communication. So I've noticed that my mentors and mentees do use the discussion site more than other PCO directors. So once you kind of establish that base of engagement, then they seem more likely to be using some of these virtual spaces, both webinars and phone calls and the SharePoint site. So basically my main takeaway, I know this is a small sample size and this is a very specific group of people, but if you are planning on doing something like this or you have a meeting or a mentor program that you're funding and your funder says, do you really need to do this in person? Based on our limited experience, I would say absolutely yes. I think, you know, it's really been a one-time investment that has paid off kind of more long-term. So, you know, you're spending, depending on where they're traveling to, $800 a person, which, you know, does add up. It is time and resource intensive. But then in the end, once you've gotten this person engaged, they're more invested longer term. They're participating in other activities. We've gotten them involved in other ASTO forums. You know, they're on the webinars. They're wanting to be mentors themselves. They're reaching out to their peers. So it's really paying off in that way. It does mean that you're down the road, your virtual communications, I think, are a lot more useful once we've established this kind of in-person base. So I do think that we'll be able to build on that SharePoint site and make it more useful as we have more people connected in person and then want to use that as a way to continue those relationships that they're building rather than starting out building those relationships online. And I also think, kind of selfishly, I mean, obviously our, you know, first concern is making sure this is useful to them and providing them with the TA and support that they need, but it has really improved the relationship between ASTO and the PCO directors. I've gotten to know them a lot better through managing the program. They feel really engaged with their peers and with ASTO, so when I need to call on someone if I have a question about something that's happening in primary care offices, my mentors and mentees are some of the first people that I go to. So I think it has just really increased engagement across the board and provides a good base and foundation for then building on some of those virtual communications. A couple considerations for implementing this for other groups and deciding whether or not these lessons learned are really transferable. PCOs are kind of a specific group. For one thing is they have very standardized activities. So I mentioned earlier they're mostly funded through a HRSA cooperative agreement, and they just have certain activities that all of them have to do as part of this agreement. Their shortage designation, they have to do a needs assessment. So a big bulk of their work is pretty standardized. So this means it was pretty easy to pair mentors and mentees, and even if it wasn't a perfect pairing, you could be sure that there were at least some activities that they had in common that they were going to be able to support each other with. So if you had a group of people who, where you have a little bit more of varied job descriptions, it might be, you know, more time and resource intensive to try and find mentors who match really well. So I think that's one thing that has made this really effective for this group in particular. In addition, they were already a pretty organized peer group. They get on calls quarterly. They do actually meet, not through ASTO, but through their HRSA cooperative agreement, meet in person once a year all together. So they already kind of knew each other. They already had kind of a culture of wanting to be helpful to one another, so I think that made it a lot easier to get volunteer mentors, made it easier for me to, they are an easy group to reach out to in terms of advertising the program. So I think that helped, that they were already an organized peer group. And then there are a limited number of them, so the application process was manageable. You know, we serve state health agencies, so we were looking at 54 applications max. You know, if you were at a local level or working with a physician where you had a lot more applications, it would be a much more time-intensive process where the gains might not be worth it to do something in person like this. But because it was a manageable group, that made it really easy. So a couple of questions going forward. As I said, you know, we had 6 participants this year. It's a new program and a small program that we're expanding in the coming years, and these are some things that I'd like to consider as we move forward. One is that, you know, with this small sample, I don't know that the interactions have to be one-on-one. I would be curious to see if we had some kind of orientation program where we brought in all of the new directors for a meeting where they were able to talk to some HRSA staff and some more experienced directors, if you would see the same kind of benefits, the same increased engagement that you do from having the one-on-one mentoring. So that's one question. And then going forward, I really want to look at how we're able to engage directors who aren't participating in the program. You know, if you have some directors who are not quite new enough to want to be mentees but don't feel like they have the time or the experience to be mentors, I want to find ways to try and engage them to see some of the same benefits that we've seen from the in-person mentoring. And then looking going forward, just trying to figure out how we can keep participants engaged long-term after they've been involved in the program for 1 year and are really enthusiastic, how can I keep that enthusiasm going to build on this peer support? So that's all, and I'm happy to answer questions at the end. Thank you.